Really fast. I'm going to do this in a couple minutes. I want to share what the Lord's given me for tonight. If you haven't known, tribal nights are really, really different. This is not usually our recording nights. This is just a worship night where our community gets together, share what the Lord's put in our hearts, pray together, worship together, fellowship together for you to meet people you may have never met, and just do life together. Cool. So Maverick, we know what we're called to. We are called to those who are unruly, to those who are misunderstood by most, to the outsiders, to those who may not have a place to belong. And I feel like that's the people we attract. That's the people who are part of Maverick. I mean, before you may have even heard of us individually, a lot of us were doing what we're doing now for years. I mean, I've been doing this for 10 years. I know Aaron's been doing this for a long time. MJ's been doing it for a long time. Naomi was doing it for a long time. Dante, like Joel, all of what we're doing now, we've been doing for all our lives. But the Lord opened a space for us to belong and to be family. And that's what I feel like the Lord is just doing in the earth. A lot of you who are called to things who don't have a place to belong. And it's not to even say that your place to belong, not that you don't belong, but your place to belong or to remain is math. You can be called to create your own space. Come on. I feel like a lot of us, just out of fear and because of maybe where we're from and stuff, we just always look for a place that's always created instead of just creating it. God has given you authority and power to create, right? So that's who we feel like we're called to, the misunderstood. I'm going to walk through the story of Moses really fast and just point out a couple things that the Lord has put on my heart. I think one thing that's good to point out, just even throughout the scripture, to stay true to the scripture, is that, yes, we hear of Joseph's, and you hear of David's and Abraham's, and you hear of Moses's and their callings. But I think it's good to know, to humble us, is that though our callings are unique, they're not better. They're just different. When you are from maybe a small city like I am, or when you're from a small environment, or you come from a small space, and your gifting is unique, or your calling is unique, it's easily sometimes easy to feel puffed up, and for your pride to just be stroked all the time because you're gifted. You may be the only one who can do what you do, but that doesn't mean you're better. Joseph wasn't better than his brothers. He was just different. Jacob wasn't better than Esau. He was just different. And it's good to know that you're different. Like, your unique calling, your assignment, which you're supposed to do in this season, is different. You may not have a mic, but that doesn't mean that the person with the mic is better. You're just in a different season. And those who are different are raised different. If we are going to identify ourselves as people with unique callings, different assignments, we have to take into account the way God raised us. So if we look at Moses, I'm not going to read scripture, but if you want to go back home and study, it's Exodus 2. I'm just going to walk through it. If we look at the life of Moses, we can readily identify how different it was, how different when the Lord was molding his calling, his assignment, how different he was, how different he was raised. The first point being, when you are called and when you're assigned to seasons and the Lord is going to do something unique through your life, attack at the start happens. I feel like a lot of us in here at the start, at the beginning, it may not even be at the start. So this may be just foreknowledge. It's good to know that when you are starting something, When your life is just starting, when your gift is just being molded, when your assignment is coming to fruition, it's going to be attacked. Yeah. It is highlighted in the enemy's sight to be attacked. Just like Moses' life. When Moses was born, what happened? I mean, we all watched The Prince of Egypt. When Moses was born, Pharaoh sent out a decree to kill all the firstborn sons. It's because the start of something is always under attack. But here's a hint of wisdom. The way God prevents attack from prospering is he hides us. Right? Being hidden. You can always tell when something's going to be fruitful if it's hidden. You can always tell if something's going to be fruitful if it's hidden. Don't despise being hidden. Don't despise no one not knowing what you do or how well you do it. You are being hidden because in order to protect how fruitful you're going to be, the Lord has to hide you. Because there are things that you may not even see. He's sovereign. There are things and forces and attacks and people and relationships and surroundings and places that you may not even know how to protect yourself from. So the Lord has to hide you. Hebrews 11:23 says, hold on, let me read it. Hebrews 11:23 says, listen, it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. It was by faith that the gift of God was hidden. It took faith for Moses' parents to hide him. What am I saying? That maybe the level of ambition you have connected to you being seen is directly related to the lack of faith you have. Can you trust God in a hidden space? Can you trust God being hidden? Can you trust God being small? Can you trust God having few? So hidden. So the process of being great and being called and being assigned to whatever is you're usually hidden first. Fruitfulness is directly attached to how hidden you were. And you can throughout giftings and callings and people's assignments and and people who are called and people who are even in public, you can see how well they dealt with being hidden, but how well they deal with being seen. It's easy to spot an unprocessed person. It's easy to spot one who ignored the processing of the Lord so he can get the applause of people. People can see right through it. So look at somebody and say, honor the hiding. Honor the hiding. If you're in a hiding season, honor it and enjoy it. Honor it and enjoy it. The next thing that happens in Moses' life is, this is what Prince of Egypt didn't show me. I didn't never saw this in Prince of Egypt. What I saw in the movie was that Moses was in a river, right? This is what happens when you watch movies but don't read your Bible. Okay. what happened was Moses' mother put him in the water, and Pharaoh's daughter went into the water and found a baby in the basket, right? But what Prince of Egypt didn't tell us that the Bible does in Exodus 2 is that Moses was raised by the Egyptians, but he was nurtured by his mother. The Bible says that when Pharaoh's sister went into the water, she found a baby, her maid found a baby, and Moses' sister was following him along the river. And Moses' sister saw him. Pharaoh's daughter saw the sister and was like, hey, take this to a Hebrew so that he can be nurtured and then bring him back to me. To raise them. What am I saying? Is that your family is an assignment. Moses was nurtured by Hebrews, raised by Egyptians. The family that the Lord has placed you in is an assignment. And that's to us, those of us who, because we didn't have the most fortunate or the most proudest parents or families, we reject where we come from. God is too sovereign to place you somewhere you don't belong. For you to fully accept what you're called to, you have to fully accept where you come from. And it's intentional. He was nurtured by Hebrews, raised by Egyptians. It was intentional. The Lord knew what he was called to. Respect, resolve where you come from. It's okay to grieve where you come from. But for you to fully walk healthily in your process and your promised land and with the Lord, you have to resolve where you come from. Resolve that your father wasn't in your life. Grieve it, but resolve it. Come to a resolve. Resolve that you were adopted. Your mother wanted to abort you, but she didn't, and she gave you up for adoption. Resolve that, because the Lord placed you where you belonged. And where you come from speaks to where you're going. Where you come from speaks to where you're going. So Moses is nurtured by Hebrews, raised by Egyptians. So where you come from speaks to where you're going. You're raised with a sense of destiny. A lot of us are questioning what we're called to, questioning our purpose, questioning what am I supposed to be doing. The Lord gives you glimpses of destiny in your experiences in life. Moses, nurtured by Hebrews, raised by Egyptians. It mattered because he was called to deliver the Hebrews from the Egyptians. If you look in the history of where you're from, your experiences, you can see a glimpse of what you're called to. So, with knowing what Moses was called to, having that sense of destiny, here's the danger, though. Here's the danger of knowing what you're called to. Here's the danger. You will move premature sometimes. So we look at so if you go down the scripture, I'm walking through Exodus 2. If you look at the scripture, the verse where Moses, y'all remember the story when Moses saw a Hebrew Israelite getting attacked or whooped by an Egyptian, right? And he takes it upon himself to kill the Egyptian. On the surface, the offense is murder. Yes, you shouldn't have done that. Then you decide to hide the Egyptian. You're going to extra level of sneakiness. But the deeper offense is prematurity. It wasn't just the fact that he killed the Egyptian. The reason he did that is because he had a sense of destiny. He knew that I was called to set these people free. He just went outside of the timing of God. The danger to your destiny is your premature arrival. That's the only danger. You moving outside of the timing of God. You not trusting the Lord enough to wait on the Lord. You not having the faith to trust his timing. That's the only danger. You can screw it up like I did before, but if you just wait on the Lord, there's nothing, you nor people, that can stop you. Just wait on the Lord. So Moses moves prematurely. Then the next day, this is what the Bible says, that he sees a whole bunch of Israelites, two Israelites who are fighting each other. I remember this. And he's like, hey, stop. Don't do that. Then the Israelites say back to him, like, ain't you this guy that just killed somebody yesterday? Just killed somebody yesterday? Moses thought nobody saw. So in another premature act of him trying to walk in destiny when it's not time, people reject him. Let's take our minds off of the fact that he moved prematurely. Yes, he moved prematurely. But just try to focus in on the way Moses possibly felt. The fact that people, he felt like he was called to deliver, misunderstood him. In Moses' mind, I'm trying to help y'all. I know the Lord has called me to y'all. I know the Lord has sent me to y'all. I know the Lord has sent me to this local church. I know the Lord has sent me to my family. And you don't understand me? You're going to question all of my efforts to try to do what the Lord has called me to do. It's misunderstanding. And you'll be surprised how many of you in this room are running from where you're supposed to be because of misunderstanding. Because of who didn't understand you. The enemy knows that we all have a sense to be understood. It feels great. The affirmation of people and of family and of friends, it feels great, especially when we're doing something we feel like the Lord's called us to do. But the enemy knows if he can use misunderstanding to make your heart bitter and run from what you're called to do, he'll do it every time. And no one will understand you until you are okay with people misunderstanding you. So resolve in your heart on tonight that if you are called and you're chosen, 95% of people are not going to understand you. And you want to know what hurts even more? Most of them will be your family. Most of it will. All throughout the New Testament, you hear people from Jesus' hometown talk about, isn't this the brother of, isn't this the son of Mary? And saying, isn't that all he is? Isn't he from Nazareth? Where did this come? It's because those closer to you probably won't understand you. And you have to grieve and resolve that they don't have to. They're not called to. They're not called to understand you. So Moses runs from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's trying to kill him because he killed an Egyptian. But I also believe he was running from his own because of misunderstanding. Last point is he runs to a well. In Exodus 2:15, Moses ends up at a well. Ends up at a well. If you study the Bible at all, not at all, because you can study the Bible and not know this, but if you're a student of the Word, you would know that Moses, when they talk about Moses, they talk about Christology. Moses is a foreshadow of Jesus. So you can look at Moses' life, and you can see Jesus' life. When Moses was born, Pharaoh was trying to kill all the boys. When Jesus was born, Herod was trying to kill all the boys. So you can look at different. So Moses is up at a well. In John 4, Jesus is at a well. And the connection between the two is that when people are running, you are going to end up at a place, thank you, Lord, where you're going to need something to drink. No matter where you run, you're going to end up thirsty. And the Lord is so sovereign and strategic that he's going to put you somewhere where you can drink. And I feel like a lot of us are in places, in seasons, in environments where the Lord has strategically placed you, that while you were running, you think you were just on your own accord and doing whatever the heck you wanted to, that he has placed you at a well. Your well may look like a church. Your well may look like friends. Your well may look like relationship, healthy relationships. Your well may look like a job that you may not want to be at. Hello. But the Lord will assign you to a well. And the purpose of being at the well, what happens in John 4? John 4, a couple of things happen. The woman is confronted with who she is. Thank you, Lord. She's confronted. The Lord Jesus digs deep by word of knowledge, and it's just tearing this lady life up. But what I'm saying is you're going to end up at a place where you're going to meet wells. And not only are you going to end up at a place, this is the responsibility. People are going to end up in places with you where you're called to be a well. What are wells? Wells are open vessels where water can be dug out of. You are not going to be able to be a well if you're closed. Hello, men, if you're not vulnerable. A lot of us hold our stories in deep, dark, secret spaces because we just can't fathom people knowing where we come from and what we've done, who we used to be, what we used to do, maybe what we're still doing. And we stop ourselves from being wells for people. People come to us thirsty for advice, for wisdom, and we're locked up. Do you know what's happening right now, even with Maverick City? What wells are, wells have power for impartation. Wells have, impartation is what I have, I give to you. That's all it is. Fancy word for what I have, I give to you. You don't have to receive it. I mean, you don't have to work for it. It's just free. What wells do, the principle of a well, is that what takes years to dig only takes moments to pour. So what I'm saying, that's the power we have. What you're receiving from me right now has been years of process, of experience, of encounters, of digging, the Lord digging stuff out of me. And it's only taking you moments to receive it. That's the power that your story, that your testimony, that your vulnerability has. What maybe take months, years, for decades for you to process through, takes moments for people to receive. And that's what we are called to be. You're called to pour. Misunderstood, outcast, rejected, not accepted, struggling, broken, addicted, not focused, whatever space you're in, you're called to pour. Because you never know what Moseses are in your life who are thirsty. The assignment is not about you. That's the whole purpose of this. I know I started talking about where you came from and how called you are. But you're called for people. You're assigned to people. And the most selfish thing you can do is not process where you are, because you won't become who you're supposed to be for people, to the glory of God. I want to pray just for people who are in that weird space of running, of misunderstanding, of not accepting, even rejecting the call of the Lord in your life. This is the well tonight. This is where you're going to end up tonight. If that's you, if it's not too many, if that's you, I just want you to lift your hands. Let me see. That's you. If you just feel that was like strategically, great. If you see somebody around you, I want you to just place your hand on them or some type of way, connect with them or agree with them in prayer. The interesting thing about the well, keep your hand on it, we're going to pray, is that in John 4, the Samaritan woman is talking to Jesus. She doesn't know who he is. They begin to have dialogue. She says, do you want me to get you a drink? He says, I don't need a drink. He says, I am the living water, right? And she starts to compare Jesus to Jacob's well. The woman in John 4 is a representation of a church. I'm not going to go into it, but you can trace back every woman in the Bible to the church. You can trace out every woman. You find a revelation, whatever. But the woman in John 4 is an example in the image of the church. And what Jacob's well represented was the old covenant. It's something they had to keep going to draw from. It represented outer work. That's what she said. She said, we've been drawing from Jacob's well for years. Who are you to come along and talk about, if you drink from me, you'll never thirst again? The deeper meaning of what Jesus was saying, he was like, you are still operating under a work without. A work, outer work. What I'm trying to give you is an inner work, Jesus. For so many, we live our lives thinking we have to work for. Work for, work for. Work for, work for. Not receiving the new covenant that we live in. It's an inner work. That's why Jesus said, if you drink from me, you'll never thirst again. Because it's a living water. It's a thing that wells up. John says, the well of living water, the river that wells up from within you. And then, even when Jesus talks about her five husbands, he said, where's your husband? I don't have one. He says, right, you've had five. What Jesus was talking about, because five is the number of biblical dispensation. The number five in biblical dispensation is the number of law. It means law. What he was saying is you've been married to the law. And the one you're with now, grace, you're not married to. How many times do we give grace to others and don't receive that same grace for ourselves? We have to be married to grace. His grace is sufficient. It's not room to sin. It's room for help. His grace is sufficient. So stop living under the old covenant.